Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the conference call to announce the results of the second quarter of 2020 of Hering. All participants will be connected in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. Later, we are going to have a questions and answers session when further instructions will be provided for you to participate. If you need assistance during this conference call, please request the help of an operator by pressing star zero. Before continuing, I would like to say that statements made during this conference call relative to the company's business prospects, as well as operational and financial projections and goals, are based on information currently available to the management. Such forward-looking statements are highly dependent on the conditions of the domestic market, general economic condition of the country, international markets, and therefore are subject to change. Today in São Paulo, we have with us Fabio Hering, CEO of the company, Mr. Rafael Bossolani, CFO and IRO, and Mr. Thiago Hering, Business Executive Officer. The executive officers are going to make an initial introduction, and then they're going to answer your questions. Now, I would like to give the floor to Mr. Fabio Hering. Mr. Hering, please.
Good morning, everyone. I would like to greet you and thank you for your attendance on this conference call to talk about the results of Q2. This is going to be slightly different because in addition to showing to you more details about facts and numbers of Q2, we also want to talk about the strategies that we have for now and for the near future and the long-term future of our company. We have had the chance during the conference call of Q1, and the pandemic had already started when we had our call last quarter. We talked about actions and to deal with the emergency of the pandemic that we implemented in our company, and I think that we are going to complement that in talking about Q2. You're going to have the presentations of Rafael and Thiago next. We'll be talking how we've been dealing with it until the end of June and how we've been moving towards Q3 and how we see the prospects towards the end of the year and in the future. The company has obviously shown results in Q2 that have been severely impacted by the pandemic. However, we are very happy in-house with many changes and innovations that we have been able to implement. I think in a very short time. In this manner, I think that once initial considerations have been made, first, I would like to give the floor to Rafael, who will be talking about the financials, and then he will be followed by Thiago to talk about our businesses, both in terms of the present and also an outlook into the future. Thank you all very much, and all the three of us will be available to answer your questions.
Thank you, Fabio. Good morning, everyone. I hope that you're all fine and healthy. Thank you for attending our conference call of the second quarter of 2020. I would like to start by talking about our financial performance on slide four. The gross revenue of the company reached 142.3 billion reais. That represented a drop of 66.3% in comparison to the same period of the previous year. This decline is mainly explained by the closing of the physical stores that had a negative impact of the sell-in supply, as well as the sales channels to consumers. In the second quarter, we had a gradual reopening of physical stores. At the end of the quarter, there were 62% of our total network of stores open. It's very important to highlight that there isn't, those openings are kind of unstable and the working hours were also reduced in important cities like São Paulo and Rio de Janeiro. There was also a reduction in movement and that had a negative impact on our physical channels. The sales to our multi-brand channel reached 69 million, which accounted for a 63% drop vis-a-vis the previous year. The performance is also attributed to the same factors I've just mentioned. Despite this retraction, the company had a strategy of developing a new sales channel to improve the representativeness of our key accounts, mostly specialized online retailers whose growth in this year totaled 237% when compared to the previous year. The positive highlight is related to our e-commerce. In the second half, there was a 65% increase in online sales, totaling 49 million reais, and it accelerated in subsequent months. Along the quarter, we made several improvements in our digital platform. These improvements ensured improvements in the user experience and web navigation. And with that, we had new users and also recurring purchases. We will give you more details on the digitalization strategies when Thiago makes his remarks. Now, moving to slide 5. We totaled 25 million reais in gross profit in the second quarter. That had an impact on our gross margin in the second quarter with a 22 points retraction. In addition to a lower volume of sales, there was also an operational deleveraging and our fixed costs were not so much diluted, and there was also a reduction in manufacturing efficiency. Although, despite this reduction in our costs and our overhead costs, because we suspended and reduced some contracts of manufacturing employees by adopting the regulations that are currently in place in Brazil. And we had also an impact in the sales of our leftovers and also in the contribution of the regular mix. But still, there was an impact in our margin. The quality of inventory is very high. We have a high concentration of permanent items, which limits the need of marking ups in the future because of new collections. Now, on slide 6, operational expenses reached a positive results of 25.9 million reais, impacted by some non-recurring items, such as the acknowledgement of PIS and COFINS credits, totally 150 million reais. So, in addition to those non-recurring items, as you can see on the table, the net amount was 85 million. So if we deducted that, the company reached 89 million in expenses. That represents approximately 32% drop vis-a-vis the previous year, especially due to savings in personnel, overall sales, and marketing. In terms of the budget, we had a reduction of over 40% in our forecast budget. For the second half of the year, we will have a very stringent management of those expenses, and we expect to reduce them vis-a-vis the previous year. The company's EBITDA increased 59.2%, and especially because of the non-recurring items I've just mentioned. Excuse me. Please wait while Mr. Herring is going to reconnect. Mr. Speakers, the backup line is open. The company generated cash positively. Our expectation is that in the second half of the year, we will have an upward trend pursuing a neutral generation of cash or to reach positive cash. We are going through this crisis in a well-controlled way. We are paying attention to market movements that could consolidate our leadership in the journey of comfort, and that also strengthens the company and the company's brand. We want to, of course, increase value to all of us. So now I will turn over so that we can talk about operational data.
Good morning, everyone. I think you're all well. I hope you're all well. Sorry. Good morning, everyone. Now, Thiago is speaking. I hope everybody is well. And we are absolutely confident with our team and leadership that starting next quarter, we are going to have an environment of opportunities. And we are really aware and confident that we will be able to offer optimal strategy within the trends and the agendas that must be accelerated. And I am going to share my presentation with you. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by while we solve our technical problems. Good morning, everyone. So going back to our presentation, I'll be talking about some operational information about our channels, and I'll be talking about our initiatives and strategies now and in the future. I hope you are all well. And so starting on page nine, I will make a few comments about our e-commerce operation. In the past few quarters, we have witnessed a significant evolution in total sales, reaching a growth of 165% in Q2 20, and keeping the trend this quarter. So the understanding and the ambition and commitment of the team is that quarter on quarter, we'll be seeing new levels of sales through e-commerce, very much related or driven by many initiatives that we are implementing, and obviously also combined with a new normal, a new scenario that are creating unique opportunities to accelerate our digital sales. Along this quarter of 2020, we have seen an evolution in practically all indicators, total sales, new customers. And I would like to highlight a growth in the new customer base grew by 71% since April. We've been able to bring in 250,000 new customers to our e-commerce. Half of those are new customers. Half of those are new e-commerce customers coming from our physical channels. We've been keeping conversion levels in the website that are quite high. In terms of our peers, it's about 2% with peaks of as high as 3%. So this is more availability, assortment. And then we have also implemented new initiatives to expand our points of contact with our customers, social selling, WhatsApp sales, in addition to improvements in the levels of service and delivery. We also are improving our omni-channel strategy, today reaching 15% of our revenues, and we hope to it will get even higher towards the end of the year. We're also making sales through the marketplace, our main partner. We have reached a position of highlight, or we're standing out in a fashion or apparel industry. The future effects will be focusing on integrating our distribution and operation centers. We have completed the migration of our e-commerce operation centers from Blumenau to Goiás on August 6th. So this opens a new possibility in terms of availability, assortment, and the consolidation of endless rack. And we have been working on e-commerce, launching with product capsules or tests of products that is very agile. And this is very interesting with 75% sell-through on average in a period, which is quite high. In addition, we are also developing new categories, responding to insights that we have captured from our customers. And the acceleration of digital sales brings in a new component, which is a better understanding of consuming or purchasing behaviors, also associating to brands and other brands that have some synergies with us. Moreover, we have also created and improved our 10 regional hubs, and so we improved average delivery times. So it's half if we compare the average of last year and one day shorter than we had in Q1 2020. And we are headed towards our objective of having at least 30% of our sales online being dispatched or picked up from our physical stores, exploring in the best way possible our capillarity. Lastly, and today we have officially launched for individuals our social selling platform, already operating with franchisees, multi-brand stores. We have more than 6,000 new resellers, thereby expanding considerably our sales force. So capturing sellout by the company within a concept that is more direct to consumers, and always keeping the partners, stakeholders, and store owners within our value proposition. So we have an extension of our omni-channel clearance chamber. It's very well balanced, keeping all our partners within the idea and the platform, and thereby augmenting this new sales channel that is strongly digital. And then I will be talking about the evolution of sellout in our network along these months. Today, we have 88% of our chain of stores is open today, but a long time. This number has varied greatly, and even it's difficult to assess the indicator. We still have the main regions such as São Paulo and the South working with limited opening hours, fewer days and fewer hours. And naturally, this has an impact on the result of those stores. But what we can see is that every month we have been recovering our sales in relation to the scenario that we projected earlier in the pandemic. We have exceeded all of them, and we are getting close and even overcoming last year. We are on week 33 of our calendar, and in the past few days we are flat and really getting very close, touching last year, and even sometimes exceeding same store sales if we combine online and offline sales, which is very good news, very exciting news for the team, for our chain that is gradually going back to normal, recovering sales and therefore recovering profitability to make the machine run. Our expectations for the future still depend on all the social movements and actions in terms of or restrictions and social isolation. But all I can say is the number of stores that open in spite of having limited times, and even in São Paulo accounting for 43% of our revenues, we have been able to attain quite good numbers in the first weeks in August, and you can see on page 10 the evolution month on month since April, from April to August. Now, talking about the expansion plan and outlook. I would like to highlight the combined effort of our team to rapidly implement an integrated expansion model. And we are working very well on data from the market, graphic data, and other data that we have in home with a geomarketing tool that is very good for generating leads, potential market analysis, and this is the ideal format. Today, we have integrated management of franchise multi-brand, mitigating conflicts and optimizing resources so that we are partners and we have the ideal partners, region, and format. All of this combined with a reviewed value proposition, an offer of new formats with a lighter or leaner CapEx, better operation, and a lot of value transfer from the company. And so we have qualified retail conversions. We've been working under the prospect of having 130 openings in the year along the 12 months. And today we have something like 170 leads, 78 of them have already been approved, 36 with hot negotiations, and another 5 with suspended negotiations. So a broad prospect of converting those qualified retailers. Another interesting point is our geographical expansion. You can see a significant gain in productivity. It's our mega store, one-stop shop. The pilot was on a shopping mall in São Caetano, opened in the last quarter of 2019. And the pilot, before the pandemic, translated into a revenue and productivity performance of 85%. We have been simulating and modeling new stores at around 60% in a scenario slightly more conservative. And even so, the results in sales and operations are quite interesting. The plan combines in the opening of 10 to 15 mega stores or herring stores being changed into mega stores. This week alone, we have closed 3 new negotiations, and we are really excited and engaged in this project. I think it's very important for us to have a broader range of products on our shelves to address the ideal negotiation between operator, market potential, geography, and the ideal format, and to have the optimal brand activation in each place. We have had significant advances in the management of all sell-in B2B channels with the digitalization of our virtual showroom in June, with more than 6,000 customers served. Average orders very much aligned with the plan. The digital journey has potentialized the experience, instead of limiting, reduced by 20% our service time. The cost service is now lower too. Additionally, the experience in B2B combined with our transactional platform connector provides huge wealth of data in terms of B2B, so that we may also potentialize a B2B CRM agenda and to understand better shopping behaviors, and all of this in real time. So it's not just transactional data, but clicks, research, favorite items. So everything that we can capture in terms of B2C journey, also we are doing that in a B2B environment too. And lastly, all these channel partners, multi-brand franchisees, and also our own stores, have been able to have both in the during the restriction times and while stores were open. We had our sales force strengthened. In addition to social selling, we have a WhatsApp selling tool. And so this combination has been and this assistance has a very high average ticket. And very soon, as I'm going to say, we are going to have new sales channels that will be implemented. Additionally, there's an interesting experience, and here there are two agendas. And in the digital, we have increased our relevance in the digital channel and also in terms of sales volume, and always using our main brands and some projects that we are designing for specific channels that are not specialized in fashion, with different new brands directed specifically for those channels. And on the other hand, keeping the positioning of our current brands in the channels that are specialized in fashion.
And to wrap up, and also trying to summarize our journey that was started over 2 years ago of cultural and digital transformation, I would like to highlight some points and explain very clearly what we have developed so far and the minor accomplishments we have obtained so far and the major opportunities we see ahead of us. The most important asset has to do with culture and talents, with people. We are gradually building a very homogeneous team that is very aligned in our goal. They have a multitude of talents and multidisciplinarity in our team, but they have the strategy and our vision very clear. So we want to spend this energy, an energy that has been tested on a daily basis in times of pandemic. We need courage to experiment and make mistakes and very clearly correct the model and scale it up to bring better and more consistent results. I am very proud of this team. I know that it is a long journey, even during the pandemic or even after that, and I would like to reinforce those points. This is the basic foundation of a company that wants to promote a prosperous journey to reestablish a virtuous growth cycle. I also like to talk about who we serve, our customers. So we have worked on this main stakeholder, so we organize data so that they can be explored in the best way possible. We have worked in our CDP and data organization, having one common customer perspective. Almost 40% of our database is active with a lot of purchase. We have a lot of data and information. We have developed our CRM platform that has allowed us to personalize our offers in a clienteling agenda. We also can customize our stores, and we have evolved in the order cycle, improving the delivery. We have also learned new things during the pandemic. We were able to test the efficacy of our partners and of our own operations. When we talk about omni-channel sales, there is a combination between this new operational center that has been expanded and its interconnection with the whole network. I am sure that will improve the order cycle and its efficiency. We have improved our NPS. We have a weekly reading of everyone. The indicator today is better than when compared with our best cases, but our goal is 80, to be above the excellence line, and we are trying to be as granular in our analysis as possible. We are making our research, we're trying to understand and have better relationships with our customers. So when we talk about brand, this asset, in the age of one-stop shops, in the age of marketplace, we should never underestimate a brand. There is a major intangible value in it. To that end, we have evolved a lot. We are creating a sustainable positioning so that our brands can serve society and the planet we're in. And consumers see a lot of value in the positive impact and the cause and the purpose of a brand. We are agents of cultural change. This, our stories should be centers of conversations and should be important in what we call the journey of comfort, whose details you can see in our release document. Comfort is an attribute. It's very trendy today. It's multidimensional, it's highly valued. It plays with our senses. So it's not just about product. It has to do with experiences, with purchase possibilities. We see this as a unique opportunity because it's convergent with our proprietary style. We can strengthen our core values and providing emphasis to our core categories, trying to translate this idea of a smart choice to have the best balance between quality, technology, price, and design. We believe that this is a very powerful tool and gives us a very good position in the market. And if it is clear to us the how and the why, we can refine the how we can do that with a 360-degree communication, improving our content in the digital world. Of course, there is a choice here of being more on and less off, to be more digital, but of course, we need to be useful and relevant. We need to create engagement, a sense of usefulness to our followers and clients. So we're focusing on CRMs and personalization, customization of offers, and also improving the experience of our customers. We are investing a lot in usability on the websites and on the stores, making this journey more intuitive, making this core at hand. And on our website, we also have different sources. And our challenge is to apply the data science to stores. So to these new customers that have crossed this barrier of digital, we need to better translate these abilities. In the future, we also want to invest in the app we are going to launch in November. An app is also very challenging in fashion because there's a combination of content and services. So products. So with our loyalty activities, I think that this will leverage our point of contact with our customers. Talking about portfolio, the starting point here is to stress out that we need to challenge our and to use that as our lab. There was 75% of average ticket, which is very high, and that can be insight, can be input for our proven sales so that we can really work with the product pyramid to really give it as a feedback to improve our role of best sellers and to give our product pyramid more robustness. But we are able to customize our offers and we are working with mass customization and cluster of stores. We are also thinking about groups of clients, not simply clusters of stores. We are testing new categories of products and services. We're always doing that. And we are using our sourcing abilities, but also making new partnerships. We are paying attention to the market opportunities. When we talk about M&A opportunities, it should be with synergistic brands and businesses. We need to balance trends, macro trends, address market, and synergy with this major idea of the journey of comfort so that the brand and the platform as a whole can grow very strongly. And when we talk about this interaction with customers and channels, the idea of unified commerce, it's a buzzword, but we've been consolidating our omni-commerce so that it can actually be omni, not just having to do with the clearinghouse or with the integrated technology, but every store should have the apps, of course, but we need to engage the teams and the network and to accelerate the penetration of omni-channel sales. The potential is huge with over 700 stores in the country, also with multi-brand stores. And we will definitely see month after month a gradual increase in the 15% rate of 15% of omnichannel today. we have a great capture potential here. As to choosing the best formats to our customers, I've talked about basic shop and also different solutions and the one-stop shop that will have the whole portfolio and that will serve as a distribution hub. So I think the cherry on the pie is that we have the contact between our customers and our brand and our portfolio. We've going beyond the limits of physical distribution. Very quickly, we're using digital channels such as social selling, WhatsApp, the app. With that, we have more points of contact with customers. That increases conversion and increases the average spend of customers. When we can combine digital tools with some level of assistance, we not only have higher productivity indicators, but the customer satisfaction level is also higher. In a B2B environment, the development of this platform, the combination of live commerce, a digital showroom with all technology resources, and we've had very good adhesion to that. Connect also was combined, and it has evolved a lot. Over 70% of customers use Connect for their transactions. That also makes a huge change in our business. So our business model is extremely resilient. It has overcome different cycles. It has leveraged some virtuous cycles and has moved us away from the vicious cycles. We really want to improve the virtuous cycles, and everything we're doing converges to that. Our business model has been supported by data. In our digital transformation journey, we have improved a lot in the use of analytics and also in store telemetry and marketing to make management of orders of B2C and B2B. And we've also started to improve the applicability of artificial intelligence and the use of data to allocate products and also CRM and clienteling. This is a long journey of learning. Machine learning is very extensive, comprehensive, and at some point we also need to understand the data on the pandemic. So it is challenging, but most importantly, we're gradually bringing to the culture of the company that this should be a data-driven company, combined with intuition, of course, but we should be supported by scientific data. We've also had a completed go-to-market digitization, so the whole go-to-marketing is now going to be digital. From sell-out and sell-in perspective, this is completed. The first digital showrooms have already been concluded in June, and now we are trying to digitize from the selling counter backwards. So using 3D and other technology tools to expedite the product development stage, reducing our time to market. So we already have a time to market reduction of 3 months, and we hope to have even longer periods or better reduction after this step is completed. We are continuously reviewing our sourcing and distribution matrix with our e-commerce distribution hub that was built in Goiás. But not only that, we discontinued our manufacturing plant in Rio Grande do Norte, and we were able to have a better outsourcing matrix. These strategic choices will be present so that our model can be more efficient. And finally, this is a major challenge for us. We are counting with external support to turn a pull-push model, which is more directed, more targeted, and to recommend replenishment of stores using artificial intelligence and technology to make this push and pull agenda more automated. And we are working with very good peers, and we are that translates into great operational efficiency. So that's the end of my presentation. I hope that it was very productive, very fruitful, and we are now open to any questions that you may have. Now, we will start the Q&A session. If you have any questions, please type star one. To remove the question from the queue, please press star two. This conference call is just for analysts and market investors. Questions from journalists should be sent to Ana Cláudia Câmara from the press release office, 11, or by email, anacláudia.camara@approach.com.br. The first question comes from Olivia Petronilho from JPMorgan.
Hello, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I have three questions, actually. The first, I would like to get a bit more detail about the multi-channel channel, the financial aspect, or the multi-brand channel.
Olivia, could you repeat your question again? Start over.
Yes, of course. Well, the first question is about the multi-brand channel. Could you give us a little bit more detail of what you're seeing in terms of financial health in this channel, not just in sell-in, but now with the return, how big is it going to come back, and what's going to happen?
The second question regards the inventory. The inventory is relatively flat. What can you do, or is it more focused on basic or new items? Number three, the push and pull implementation and everything. Do you have any KPI about lead time in terms of how faster this is from the development of the collection until the product gets to the store and what you're expecting in the future? Thank you.
Olivia, good morning. This is Thiago answering your question about the multi-brand. We have been positively surprised, as I said, in the recovery of sales and also in addition of more customers coming to our first event in June. Remember, we sliced up our go-to-market event in three events, one in June, July, and September. The first target we met in terms of average indicators, conversions, and number of customers. We have seen the multi-brand below provisions, below what we thought was going to be the post-pandemic scenario. Of the more than 350 customers that we have in multi-brand in terms of sell-out, they've had a performance that was very much aligned with our street franchise, so better than average and better than malls. This obviously creates an impulse for them for the future in terms of supply. As to inventory is slightly below last year. Obviously, we have a rolling forecast, so each week we replan the numbers, and we are seeing the curve. The coverage is going down. It's important to know the quality of the inventory we have in our inventory today, perennial basic items that don't need to be marked down. This was because of a diligent management of product management and production management over the past few months. We were partly stopped production lines and suspending the portfolio, and then we focused all the development and production in essential items. Looking into the future with summer items. When we talk about fashion, inventory levels of previous winter collections is very low. That would be candidates for markdown. Also we have well-balanced and manageable levels of inventory. We have categories that naturally have a lower pressure. I would say that our inventory is under control.
and in terms of investment and investment in the supply chain. As I said in my presentation, we can already see a reduction of 3 months in the total cycle, so much so that we could chunk up in three. So I'm going to give you an example. December, which is a sell-out month that they would buy in June, and today they are taking it in the second half of September. So there's a significant reduction in times, and we have the expectation of new versions. So in terms of best case scenario, were the capsules that we implemented in 2 or 3 weeks in a website long tail. So the idea of launching it in a long tail is to test, and they could have had the expansion and could have gone to physical retail. So the best case scenario is 3 weeks, 2 weeks for trends, and then we can also see a significant reduction, not just because of the use of technology and data, but especially digitalization of the chain, but also simplification of the agenda when we digitalize the showroom, and then we have samples, 3D format, and also sourcing. And then we have better order cycle management, and all of this reduces total time. So we already have significant gains, and we will have new reductions in the future, and we will be more aligned with sellout players. In my opinion, I would say that the challenge is to have a time to market that is even shorter than we used to. Olivia, this is Rafael speaking. Just complementing Rafael's answer in terms of inventory, he has already mentioned the good quality and the control that we have been having over our inventory, the limiting what we are going to have in the future. But it's also important to highlight the front-end inventory levels. So during the pandemic, we have observed storage or building up of inventory in the channel, especially in the franchise. When we look at same store sales, it was 15% reduction of inventory levels on the front end. So this also opens room for franchisees to come back to build up or to replenish their inventory from now on. And this is the effect of movements and things that the company has been doing for a while, which is to have this control and supply and push, and then they replenish depending on inventory turnover on the front end.
It
Thank you
was
very
very
much.
clear. Thank you. Next question is from Helena Villares from Itaú Bank. Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. You showed that during the call and the release several initiatives for the digital transformation and to face the transformation that everyone is going through. My question is, what are your priorities? So what are the priorities you plan to tackle, and what kind of structure do you have in place now so that you can determine priorities so that one project does not get in the way of the other? That's my first question. My second question is more conceptual. Now, looking towards the future, thinking of in 1 or 2 years' time, how do you see those channels? Because you have several initiatives and several channels, digital transformation for the company as a whole, even for multi-brand, but how do you see the company in 2 years' time? What is more relevant? What is less relevant? Maybe the marketplace position. How do you see all of that? Helena, this is Thiago. I'm going to answer your questions. When we talk about the mix of channels in 2 years, we expect to have more sell-out from the company, whether it's because of the acceleration of our own channels or because we'll have one-stop shop stores or in other formats in the key regions, in the key economic centers. Also expect a strong acceleration of e-commerce. We see that, and we expect that to 2021, accounting for 20%. This does not mean that we are going to de-invest from sell-in channels. What we see in our intermediation process, that we have more sell-out for the company, but also have our sales force along the channel that is connected to an incentive system and capturing part of the revenue, their roles well-determined. When we talk about revenue share, for example, we plan to use that to keep the network engaged. This does not mean we're going to only have our own stores. No, because we believe in the selling channels too, both multi-brand stores and franchises, because they ensure our capillarity. It is a major driving force, and we see a lot of value in their pain of the owner, so the sense of ownership that people have. We plan to have a mix of channel with the increase of the penetration of our own channels, such as stores and e-commerce, especially in 2 years' time. When we talk about DTC platforms, we are engaging those partners, but the capture of sell-out is ours by paying part of the revenue or commissions along the chain. Going back to your initial question, which is more comprehensive, this was basically tackled in the last slide of my presentation. We have what we call the journey of comfort. We believe that this attribute is aligned with our proprietary style. Through Hering brand, our major brand that accounts for over 90% of our revenue, of course, this concept still can be expanded to other lines and segments. It's multidimension, as I said. When we can combine communication, product value proposition, and purchase experience, this is also applicable to other brands and products. This, we need a platform that will address this point, that will make us relevant in a journey of comfort to our customers. Your second question was also addressed in the materials, which has to do with digital transformation from end to end. We are prioritizing both things, unified commerce, so this idea of enhancing profitability through new formats and digital channels, and increasing the engagement of all stakeholders through incentive programs. The online and offline channels should be connected. That improves our RAC. We should also look into the kitchen, so to speak, so from our stores inward, which involves digitalization of business planning, product development, and the supply chain, so that we can improve our time to market to put in the right product at the right time at the right place. We have all resources and tools to do that by writing down the rules of the process and so that we can do that very competitively. Let me remind you that we serve customers. That's what we do on a daily basis. We have a great input through all the data we have collected from over 9 million customers, really customizing it so that we can have the right product at the right time, at the right place, and enchanting our customers. We also have offers, level of service. All of that is considered by better managing the order cycle and the experience and the NPS. That's great. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Tobias Stingelin from Citibank.
Good morning, Thiago and Fabio. Your decision, you were talking about expansion, and now you're talking about a more compact strategy and the light stores. This decision, is it based on what you've seen in terms of opportunity? Can you expedite that? Was
Or was that an old decision that you had already made? So are you being more aggressive? So basically, you're more confident or more sure of what you're doing. I don't think there isn't, there's really a change. I think there's more of a strengthening. Since we expanded our shelves and started customizing more our formats instead of having one size fits all for all geographies and markets, this agenda is more compliant. So we had to refine some of those formats. So we have our own stores, especially with the concepts of mega store and with productivity gains in the same venture, same development in the same site. So when we talk about light franchise and basic shop, these formats are going to be very important for us both to convert qualified retailers, transferring know-how. In the first cases, we have seen a productivity gain of 25 to 30% with the conversion, which obviously makes us and the partner too very happy. But we're also seeing an opportunity in the pandemic and also with the interest rates. So individuals are looking at investments that can provide more return, for example, if fixed income or shares. And we are also looking at entrepreneurship. So some people lost their jobs, they want to change their lives, and they are getting involved in entrepreneurship. So it's a possibility of investment. So there is a brand with strong awareness, with a sound capital structure and a well-defined and proven business model. We have a high possibility or capability of generating leads. So there's been a slight change in our values. It was now it's with the new format, it takes one third of the money of the capital that was needed before to open a store. And as we have refined the value proposition, this accelerates. And we are willing to mention that as an objective and something that is very clear and evident with 130 openings in a year with conversions. So they're not necessarily new points of sales, but new points of franchise and new stores too.
Thank you, Tiago.
So are these all owned stores, 10 stores in terms of your revenue for your own stores? As to sell out, and you think of the basic format, so it's almost 2 years old, 2 to 3 years old. How has this format performed along this period? Well, now in the pandemic, it's hard to say, but if we were to isolate this segment specifically, what could you tell us? So there are 10 or 15 stores that are mainly ours. There may be an exception of a regional operator that may also operate mega stores that has availability to invest. Most of them are own stores. The compact format and the basic, we cannot say for good that this is transient or permanent, but we've been seeing an evolution of the basic line in terms of penetration in all channels. Today and during the pandemic, our sales were more than 80% in the basic. And for other customers, it might be transient, but for us, it's a strengthening of our core. We are doing well in the key categories. So if there is consistent communication, this is a strength. It's our ground, and we want to put our flag there. So we want to strengthen this idea. And saying basically,
It's a store of essential products. It has also captured. It opened in December 18, had a positive same-store sales in the first 12 months. It's above the initial budget in terms of the return. And so far, all of them have met the plan. Of course, this is a compact format, smaller footage, and so everything is smaller. And so it's capillary in because we have regions, or we are going to regions with a more attractive occupancy cost. And also, given the concentration on basic and essential items, the markdown level is almost zero. And this also keeps gross margin at very healthy levels. So yes, we are happy with that. And at the same time, it's regions where consumption features are not limited to basic, and then they already worked with other lines and with other parts of the portfolio. It's important for them to keep that. And what we want as a trade-off is an evolution of productivity at 25 to 30% that I mentioned in the my previous answer. Thank you very much.
Next question is from Gabriela Katayama from UBS. Hello. Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. There are two of them. One about competition. How do you see the competition in your business? And the second question is, you were talking about strengthening the basics. So how can that help you strengthen the gross margin and the markdown of the company as a whole? Do you believe that this is going to be more perennial? Do you think that the markdown is going to be impacted by previous collections? So that's basically my question. All efforts have been made in product planning and pyramid management so that we can have productivity gains and consequently evolution in the gross margin. So 80% of our pyramid is essential, so with continued life cycle, best seller products. So if we keep healthy inventory levels to balance availability and coverage, naturally we are going to have a reduction in our markdown and an evolution in our gross margin. It's important to maintain competitiveness. So seeing what are the attractive points and what are challenges in our sourcing chain so that we can improve efficiency regardless of inflation pressures. We need to improve productivity and preserve our initial margins. When we talk about the other initiatives related to capsules, so when we use a long tail as a lab, we know that we get the upper layer of the pyramid of fashion that has more inputs. We have now more data about that, and we can use that data to understand what are the winning attributes, what has made that particular product have a good performance. With that, we can mitigate part of it, just partially because it's fashion, mitigate the risk of the top of the pyramid. So 75% in average was of capsules, so that's very high because anything related to that can mitigate risk and the level of markdown. So managing the pyramid as we have allows us to make important advances in our gross margin. And about the competitive environment, as you asked, of course, we need to see more market data and results to be convicted of that, but we see that we have a competitive market that is going to move a lot. We see some companies that were doing their homework, they are more digitized and have strong and brands that have good distribution capillarity. Those are becoming stronger. I see a consolidation agenda in the market, so big companies consolidating their brands and increasing their market share. We're going to be one of these companies. We are aware of the homework we have to do, our challenges, but we want to move into an agenda of attacking, to have new opportunities both in sell-in and sell-out and of own stores, multi-brands. We want to be one of the leaders from now on. Thank you.
Question. Our next question comes from Felipe Casemiro from UHSBC. I hope you're all in good health. First, about e-commerce. You talked about the NPS of 64%. I think it's consolidated. Could you give us the NPS for the online operation and the evolution during the pandemic and how it's been, what is it? It is like now? And also, you have the 20% guidance of representativeness in 21 as long tail and new categories. Could you elaborate a little bit more on new categories and which ones you're looking at, or specifically anything broader ranging? Could you tell us more about the strategy? Thank you. Philip, about NPS, the indicator is consolidated. So it's between 68 and 71. In e-commerce, we had a negative peak in late May and early June, when we had problems in our operation. We've seen that in the market as a whole. We were very much concerned with meeting the needs of our operation and our customers. We rapidly were able to reduce backlog and deliveries. We had bottleneck in our customer relationship center, customer service center. So we have 80% in all channels. It fell to as low as 48, 49% now. In August, it's going back to ideal levels in terms of SLA, and it's a day-to-day learning. It's not just transactional data, but qualitative and quantitative research in terms of usability, service levels, delivery, and we are monitoring this NPS indicator both in the consolidated vision and in more detail in e-commerce. So between 68 and 71, and it's been evolving over the past few weeks, and we are very open, transparent, and effective about it with all cases, information on the media, and regularizing the operation. Today, we have no backlog. It's D plus one. So we had peaks of 9.8 days for delivery. Today, we're working with 3.5. So very competitive, very well balanced. And these are the indicators that we've been monitoring and requirements that we've been assessing in our e-commerce NPS. As to the 20% challenge of e-commerce and revenue in the new sales level, so we've mentioned a few initiatives and we like to reinforce with a few others. We believe that integration of our distribution center, operation distribution center in Goiás. And so it's going to make it possible for me to use the B2B unreserved inventory. So this will increase availability and assortment too. And this constitutes the idea that I mentioned of endless rack, as I mentioned before. So we also have assortment based on the e-commerce long tail, also in terms of capsules and best-selling categories. So we have three times more assortment in e-commerce. So in essentials, we have more colors, we have hot and cold colors, In addition to the capsules that we've been testing in e-commerce, to expanding colors in key categories, which also strengthens e-commerce. New categories, we've been testing a few ones in partnership with Lupo and other partners, even to learn about these segments, and we are seeing opportunities to expand underwear and pajamas in terms of more fashion, stay home fashion. And this is likely to continue. And we think we will evolve in terms of sports attire, both in our own brand and third-party brands. So we are very much based on comfort more than on fashion. And so we are thinking of home items, but this is more for the future. So we really expand to assortment within apparel, shoe wear, and accessories. And this is the priority for our new categories. Another agenda that we are going to focus the e-commerce on is to gain traction in the main marketplace. We were very incipient in a marketplace out, and we've been growing a lot that month-on-month with good partners. And it's very important to understand compliance in the marketplace. And we've been seeking more specialized marketplace, specialized in fashion with curatorship. But the marketplace is also a leverage for so new categories and marketplace and the evolution that we have in terms of penetration that is going to be from 15 to 30. In the pandemic, it was less than 15. And obviously, during the pandemic, we have not been able to capture the total potential because some stores were closed. But the once I improved average delivery times, increase the share in Express, improve at the level of service and experience, and I use advanced inventory. So we are also, we understand that this is another element that is important to leverage e-commerce.
Thank you very much, Thiago. This is the conclusion of the Q&A session. Now I turn over to Thiago Hering for his final remarks. I would like to thank everyone for attending this conference call, and I would like to reinforce as a key message that the company is ready and prepared with an attack agenda. We underwent difficult times with major challenges during the pandemic. We are learning good lessons in the past 2 years in this digital and cultural transformation process in the company. We are building a team of leaders who are very inspiring, energized, whose future vision is very clear, with a lot of strategy and really a drive to have a good performance. We are consolidating this environment where opinions may diverge, but the goals are aligned. We know that the journey is long, but we need to grow in a consistent way. We also need to learn how to celebrate our small victories. When we look at the competitive market, we usually feel optimistic about it. We see opportunities. We have a strong brand, a solid capital structure, very efficient in our operations, also omni-channels and digital channels advancing, and a very powerful idea, which is this journey of comfort that we have shared with you. In combination with all these factors, we are very confident, but at the same time, we are living one day after the other, living with and learning from all the blows of life and facing the challenges and with everything that the future holds in store for this company. Thank you very much for attending. Have a good day and see you next time. The conference call of Hering is concluded. We thank you for your participation and have a good day. Thank you.